Welcome to episode number 38. Happy holidays.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast, episode number 38. Happy holidays. And I'm not just saying happy holidays. I really mean that's the title of this episode. Happy holidays. And when you're listening to this, this is a day or two after the Christian holiday titled Christmas. So we're in between Christmas and the new year. I know there's a bunch of other holidays that have been celebrated in the month of December and coming up in January. But, you know, for us, well, for me at least, I'll speak for myself, Christmas, fantastic, very exciting for us. And in this episode titled Happy Holidays, we discuss our thoughts on the whole holiday season, our holiday traditions, childhood memories, the most memorable gifts we were ever given or received, our kids and Christmas, our thoughts on regifting, and advice for folks with no money for presents. We wrap, pun intended, the episode up with quotes from Joel Osteen, Giselle, and Dan Savage. All right, so how we kick things off, I like to define things just to kind of, you know, structure the episode. And if you're new, thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we drop a new episode every Tuesday morning. Download and subscribe. You won't be disappointed. We're a top-ranked podcast in the world out of hundreds of thousands of beautiful podcasts out there. They have chosen us to be in the top 100 week in and week out, and hopefully we can remain there as times are getting better, the episodes are getting better, we're getting sharper, and things are looking up for 2017. But while we're in the holiday season, I wanted to kind of give a little bit of us to you guys of how we celebrate the holidays. And so I'm just going to jump right in and give you guys a definition of holiday by dictionary.com. A day fixed by law or custom on which ordinary business is suspended in commemoration of some event or in honor of some person. I also defined Christmas, because that's the holiday we celebrate, me and my family, the annual festival of Christian church commemorating the birth of Jesus, celebrated on December 25th and now generally observed as a legal holiday on an occasion for exchanging gifts. All right, if you're new, again, so after we kind of define stuff, we jump into a story, or if we have a guest on, we like to interview them, but for this time, we have a little story, and I got it from coolestholidayparties.com, and it's titled, What to Give an Optimist and a Pessimist? So, a family had twin boys whose only resemblance to each other was their looks. If one felt it was too hot, the other one thought it was too cold. If one said the TV was too loud, the other claimed the volume needed to be turned up. Opposite in every way. One was an eternal optimist and the other a doom and gloom pessimist. Just to see what happened, at Christmas time, their father loaded the pessimist's room with every imaginable toy and game. The optimist's rooms he loaded with horse manure. The night the father passed by the pessimist's room and found him sitting amid his new gifts crying bitterly. Why are you crying? The father asked. Because my friends will be jealous. I'll have to read all these instructions before I can do anything with this stuff. I'll constantly need batteries, and my toys will eventually get broken, answered the pessimist twin. Pacing the optimist twin's room, the father found him dancing for joy in a pile of manure. What are you so happy about? He asked, to which the optimist twin replied, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere.
Wow.
So, but that's very interesting because the pessimist had everything, I would say, that the new age, what not Christmas is about, but what the whole Santa Claus celebration is about. He received that. The toys,
everything they wanted.
Everything that every kid ever wants, right? And he got it, but he always found, you know, like the glass. Half empty. There you go. He found something wrong with it at some level. And this just goes to show that no matter who you are and where you are in life, if you don't change the inside thinking, the way you are and how you perceive the world, It doesn't matter what kind of possessions you have.
Exactly.
That will still remain the same. That's why they say, you know, like the happiest people are, they're wealthy internally.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's not an external thing. That's not to say that there aren't happy, well, you know, happy people with a lot of money. I'm not saying that, but it just goes to perfectly show you that money does not buy you happiness.
Yes. Only having material possessions is not the, yeah, not the key to happiness.
Right. That's also not to say that having no money doesn't bring you happiness, because you'd probably be even more sad. And I'm not going into any of that, but I'm just saying, if that's your way of thinking naturally, it doesn't matter what you get. It's it's almost like I see people hit goals that they wanted their whole life. They hit it, and then as soon as they have it, they're, you know, either not complaining about it necessarily, but it's not what you thought it was.
Yeah.
And then they're already on to the next thing, and mm-hmm. then, you know, not as appreciative as...
It's expectations and all stuff too.
Right, exactly. That's what it's, this fake thing. We build stuff up so much in our heads that when we finally get there, it's... All right, so let me break something down really quick. So the way law of attraction works is we're constantly giving out vibrations, frequencies, whatever you want to call it, thoughts. And when you're on that same level as the same frequency as something else, so if you're on the same frequency as a millionaire or $1 million, right? Let's just put it in monetary terms. When you get there, it's almost like nothing to you because you've been there in that frequency for so long to get there. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense. Where the difference, if you earned it, I should say, not if you like want it or something like that. That's totally different.
Because your mentality is already at that level.
Yes, exactly. You're already operating. So if you're the kid out there, or me myself, who was the author before he was an author, that this totally makes sense to you, and this should resonate with you to some level. But not to get too far off of, you know, the holiday season, but this all actually has somewhat, you know, to do with, you know, the holiday season, because the holiday season is, you know, like a time of, you know, coming together, sharing family moments, a time of giving. It's also a time of reflection where you sit back and think about, because it's also the end of the year. So you're naturally already thinking about wrapping up everything, no pun intended, but you're, you know, wrapping your year up, and then you're looking forward to the next year. So you're already naturally kind of in that mindset. And then all of a sudden, if you donate your time or your energy or something, money, something to a good cause, that should bring you down. You know, even if you had the most successful year ever, it's a time of being humbled. And it should make you realize how blessed you really are and how far you've actually come in, you know, in life. And I say that into the people who are hardworking and actually are, you know, earned where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
'Cause we all know, you know, the other way. But anyway, so when you guys hear that story, what do you guys get? I know I just kind of went off on a random tangent, but with the pessimist and the optimist, you kind of, do you agree with that? Do you disagree? What I was kind of saying, like, it doesn't matter who you or what you get, you know, it's the type of person you are. Because a kid literally got a pile of crap. Exactly. And was hyped.
That's the pessimist is the ungrateful one, obviously.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter what you gave them, they're all going to find something wrong with it. And that's what you see, like, I guess, like, always see, like, the stereotypical, like, the spoiled kid, whatever, who, like, always asks for everything, but doesn't like anything, actually give it to them. So it's like, it always just reminds me of that. And,
right.
I just don't get it. Like, I can't relate to that kid.
Everybody
knows that kid, but you just look at him, it's like, why? Like, what happened there? You're like, why do you feel so entitled? Like, what happened to you, or who said something to you to feel like, yeah, I deserve that, or I'm just going to be pissed that I got this or didn't get that.
Yeah.
You know, that kid is one thing. His excuses were, you know, stupid to me, because I'm going to have to read instructions. But it's the kid that says, hey, you know, why didn't I get, you got the bike you wanted, but it's not purple like I wanted.
Exactly.
That kid, I just want to, I would probably want to just throw the bike in the trash. Like, is that what you want? Oh, is that it? Yeah. And I'd want to just punch him directly in the forehead. It would just drive me crazy.
Staying on the subject of the optimist and the pessimist, it's a very fascinating topic for me, because I am naturally a pessimist. And not to that extent, though.
Yeah.
It's other stuff, and I keep it to myself. It's not really stuff that I say out loud, although it might come in a... It might be delivered
in a different way. Let's just say that. So it might come out as me being sarcastic, me, you know, busting chops or whatever. And okay, so somebody back in the day, somebody would do something like, oh yeah, well, whatever, that's going to crumble, blah, blah, blah. And I would just say something like that. But then it was
like, off-color comment.
More. Yes, exactly. Kind of like passive aggressive. But, I changed my mindset when I came around the right material. And Napoleon Hill says when successful people do stuff a certain way, there's a reason for that. You don't even have to be, I'm a natural pessimist, but I turned into a somewhat optimist because I did stuff a certain way. It wasn't because I completely changed all of a sudden, you know, I got hit over the head with a magic wand or something. That was a brutal change. But that difficult thing when we're talking about you saying, you know, like a child feeling entitled that you didn't understand that, like how does... You know, it's a holiday season, and this kid got a red bike, and he wants a purple one or whatever, vice versa. And, you know, how can you be so ungrateful? Because Lord knows what your parents did to sacrifice what they did to get that. Even if they are wealthy, at some point you have to realize that they earned that, you know, where they are. Oh, so you're saying, like, where does that come from? I don't know where that comes from. I know I can speak for myself. And the reason why I am very aggressive in attaining my goals is because I felt that hunger. Mm. I felt that not getting what that feels like, what I wanted, and it didn't happen. And I felt that whatever that feeling was, that taste in your mouth, it's like, well, I didn't get it. Like, I thought I was going to get it. Now, I'm not even talking about Christmas. I'm saying, like, me going for a goal and it not, and just being like, no, I'm getting it. Or I'm going to, next time I'm, you know, I'm going to switch things up. And how can I figure this out too? This has been happening to me when I entered into the stock industry and studying this. And I'm like, I wasn't getting it at first. And I was so frustrated. And then finally I started picking some stuff up. And then I got even more mad. So now I'm just completely angry that I want to, not angry in a negative way, but in a,
motivated.
Yes, and motivated in a, you know, using that energy directed towards studying even harder, even more. And I just want to understand it so bad. And it just goes back to the old saying that life doesn't happen to you. People don't understand. This is why I mentioned how random it sounds like. This is why I mentioned the law of attraction. Yeah. Life happens for you. And we're here to receive those lessons. It's our job to reflect. It's like the quote I just heard today, and I posted it today. It says, I pray, not wish. I have a God, not a genie. So it's like one of those things. It's like life happens for you. It's teaching you so many things that it's holding you back. If you're, you know, if you're believing in these kinds of things, and if people are out there saying, oh, that's all like this all hippity hoppity, whatever in the world, some like hippie stuff that you guys believe in that. Yo, for you real, like, hardcore people who, you know, wherever you're tough or whatever, listen to whatever Michael Jordan says. Listen to Muhammad Ali. Listen to LeBron James. Listen to Conor McGregor. If you go on, type in anything motivation, right, in 2016, anything motivation that's going to motivate you for fights, they have Conor McGregor talking on these things now. Mm-hmm. Because he's in interviews. And he's literally talking about the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Conor McGregor is a UFC world champion in two different weight divisions currently as we speak. We're in December, end of December in 2016. And this guy is fully believer in the law of attraction. And he talks about it in the middle of his interviews. Mm-hmm. Now, fighting is a physical thing, right? When people say, oh, that's all law of attraction, it's like all spirituality, kind of like just random stuff, right? Okay, well, what he does is such a physical thing. Mm-hmm. So why is it working for him? That makes you think, because normally it's like, oh, well, it's always like, you know, self-help people or personal development people. This guy's like a counselor or, you know, some type of life coach or something like that. Of course you believe it. That's your profession. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what happens when this dude is the most paid UFC fighter in the history, has made history, has two world champion belts, currently is holding both of them, right? Talks possibly the most smack you'll ever hear, but he backs up what he's, you know, talking, right? What's not working then? He's literally the manifestation of everything we talk about. Literally. This dude, listen to this guy's interview. he is like a 17-year-old skinny, scrawny kid talking about he's going to be a UFC world champ. Mm-hmm. 10 years before it even happened. 10 years. He's like 28 now. Mm-hmm. And there's interviews of him at 18 years old. I'll be a world-class champion. I'm going to be not even world-class champion of the UFC. He was in other leagues and he was overseas. So that's hard. UFC is based out of the United States and California.
He's like Irish or something too, right?
Yeah, he's straight from Ireland. So anyway, so I just said all that to bring it back that, yeah, we're talking about holiday season. We're talking about happy holidays, but we're also talking about stuff that pertains to everyday life. And what Manny was pointing out, he doesn't understand the pessimist or the ungrateful kid. And neither do I. And I don't know if I can explain it or whatever, but that's somewhat where, you know, how you can avoid that or how you can maybe, if you are that person, overcome that is to understand that life is not happening to you. It's happening for you. It's so that you can learn. And the reason why, and you ever experienced something that just keeps happening to you? Like, there's this dude, I was just talking to some guy, and he kept saying, like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I was like, well, how long have you been living paycheck to paycheck? Excuse me, he says for the last 4 years. I'm like, dude, you realize that for 4 years, the reason why this keeps happening to you is because you're not learning a lesson. You're not learning the lesson. It's happening for you. Understand that. It's not happening to you. You are applying yourself to life. If you're working paycheck to paycheck for 4 years, now, everyone has a plan. Everyone's going to, you know, excuse me, not everyone's going to be, you know, rich and famous or whatever in the world. But there's things you can do to live a very nice, humble life that you don't have to necessarily be living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm. You live within your means at that point. Because obviously you're still living beyond if you're still living paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly. And it could be, it might not have anything to do what he's bringing in home. It's how he's using it or utilizing it. And from what I understand, the guy actually makes like decent money, but it's one of those things. It's like, I know that happened to all of us at one point. Yeah. This one thing just keeps happening to us, and you're just like, oh, frustrated. Like, oh man, it's always happening to me, and I don't understand. That's it. It's the world, the universe is giving you feedback. That's its feedback. It's like you aren't expressing yourself at your. You're not going at your full potential here. So, you know, change something. You're not feeling, this doesn't make you feel comfortable. Make a change. Do something different. Mm-hmm. You can't, for the life of me, thinking about that, it's almost, I'm getting almost like anxious thinking about this dude's doing the same thing for 4 years.
Yeah.
People do it for 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm just talking about 4 years. That's actually not that bad. There's people who do it for 40 years.
That their entire lifestyle is paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
I read a quote today. From a book I'm reading, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it said, some people get 20 years of experience, others get the same experience for 20 years. And I was like, damn. I started giggling, and I was like, it's so true. He's like, they'll just do enough to never get fired, and that quote right there kind of says it all, kind of encapsulates the whole thing.
Sad.
It is.
So
that's going to be Johnny, who's the pessimist. What we just explained is going to be Johnny, the pessimist. That's what he's going to be until he changes thought process.
Yeah, come on, Johnny. No, and you know what, man? Maybe one of the things that will happen to him, that will happen for him, will be one of those years where the family's not doing so hot financially, and then he's not able to get all those, you know, toys and all those cool what's it called. And guess what? Henry, who say happy Henry, Henry's still going to find some positive, you know, way of, you know, making a situation. I mean, the dude got crap, literally. And was excited because he was thinking there has to be a horse or a pony here somewhere.
So here's the crazy thing about that. The kid who wants to find a pony in a pile of turds, you want to give more. Like, my God, I wish I could give him everything he ever wanted, right? And the kid who got everything that a kid would want, you want to take it all away from them. Isn't it interesting how that works? So the more thankful you are, the more you're probably going to receive. You just keep putting those good vibes out. If that doesn't tell you, you know, if that doesn't give you an example of a law of attraction or whatever you want to, you know, throw out there in the world, if that doesn't tell you, think about it just on a basic level. When you give something to somebody and they're ungrateful, you immediately want to take it back.
Yes.
Yep. When you give something to someone who looks at you and tells you thank you through the moon, you want to give them, whether it be money. If you gave them $5, you wish you would have gave them 40. If you gave them, you know, if and then the pessimist, if you gave them $1, you know, and he's like, that's all you gave him was a dollar, and you just want to give him a penny or just take it all away and wish you never gave him anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, I just thought about that. That is the most interesting thing in the world right now to me. It's like, wow, why do I want to give you more when you're so appreciative? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It comes in droves.
Absolutely.
Because they understand all the meaning behind it.
I guess. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And even if they don't fully, at least to some extent.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's people who are grateful and you're like, they don't even know what you sacrificed. I know this might sound crazy, but there's, since we're in a holiday season, we're watching all these like Christmas cartoons and whatever. And there's like a White Christmas or Mickey something Christmas. It's like from 1999.
Not the Christmas Story, is it?
Christmas Story.
Like the you know, the Scrooge thing. Not that, right?
No. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's like a Merry Christmas Mickey something. It was amazing. I keep saying 1999 because every time I see the title on like my TV guide thing, it says it says 1999. So it's always stuck in my mind. So in the movie, Mickey and Minnie are dating or whatever, and they have things to do during the day. And it's, you know, it's Christmas, and Mickey has a harmonica that he plays and performs for, you know, like for all kinds of children who, you know, aren't, you know, well off or whatever. And he's doing all this stuff. So he wants to get her, I forget what it is, like a necklace or something like that. I forget specifically what the gift is. So he trades in basically his most prized possession to get her a gift. Mm. Well, whatever he gets her was for something that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did the same thing for him to buy a case for his harmonica. So when they exchanged gifts, he had a case but had no more harmonica, and then he gave her, I forget what it was, and she didn't have, you know, the other component or whatever. It's when you see like little things like that, or and how little that was, but it meant everything. There's a story in the Bible that talks about, I think it was like a prostitute or something. Jesus was in this town, and I guess they're giving like an offering or whatever, and he was just saying, you know, give whatever, you know, whatever you want from the bottom of your heart, whatever it was. People were given $100 bills or whatever the equivalent was for back in the day. Yeah, whatever that was. So like a lot of money, thousands of dollars, and they're just dumping it in. And this prostitute came up and put like 2 pennies in there or something like that. And one dude, I guess somebody like chuckled or whatever, and Jesus turned to him and he's like, what are you laughing about? That's literally all she has. That's she gave me everything. This guy might have gave me $1,000, but he has 10,000 in the bank.
Right.
She has two pennies, and she gave it to me all. That he said, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I want. When you give everything you have, not just a portion, not just a small little thing. So it just comes back full circle when we're talking about happy holidays. To me, I always think of like the season of giving, and I always look for. And I'm thinking about the Mickey and Minnie example, and this example I just gave with the Bible or whatever. It's this giving, this and what Manny you're talking about when you give somebody something and they're grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole thing. But then it comes back to who you are as the giver. Right. If you're the giver and you're expecting, that's not fully giving. So when you're giving, and I'm not even talking about monetary, but if you're expecting for that reaction, that is not truly giving.
Mm-hmm.
In the most purest form. Now people might argue with me on that, but it's true, because that means you're doing it because you're getting something out of it, which is as a form of payment. Whereas true giving is releasing without retrieving anything in return. Mm-hmm. True giving, the true meaning of giving, is not wanting or caring. It's giving to somebody or something who can't pay you back ever.
Right.
Think about that. Like a child or something. Like they can't give you anything. They don't have jobs or anything like that. Right. You know what I'm saying? And you give it to them. That feeling, you know you're not getting anything in return, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just see what's their reaction, what it is. But that's addicting. And that's why one of my goals... it is to be a
philanthropist.
Yes. A person who gives to, you know, other people, without basically receiving anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that is one of my goals, is to, I don't know to what extent or whatever, but because there's something about giving that is like, that's the way they say the greatest among them is a servant.
Yeah.
Because you're giving, you're constantly giving. And what you put out,
it's what you'll receive.
Yeah. And sometimes, depending on where it's from or what your source is, it could be tenfold. So it's this time of season, when I say reflect, like use like some deep thoughts or whatever. Because I seen like I was watching like some videos of me as a kid watching other people open up their gifts, and I was just in full fledged excitement. Mm-hmm. Like I could not wait to see their face. Mm-hmm. And I still get like that. Like if I'm still 8, 9, 10 years old, when I buy somebody something, I'm so even like these things. I made plaques for the guys here in the podcast. We were in 2016. We hit the top 100 podcasts in the world, blah, blah, blah. And two of the plaques, I misspelled the word podcast. And I was excited to give it to them. Just even like working on it, I'm like, oh, they're going to think this is hilarious because it's like freaking made out of wood and is our first year and it's so poor looking. But it's probably going to be the best one that we have ever, even if they give us like a $1 million diamond plaque. The first one that we ever had was this that Jim made.
you poured your heart and soul into.
Yeah, but no, but anyway, you know, the season of giving, it's I like to think of, you know, things like that. I mean, there's this classic movie that my mom watches. I think it's called Something Shoes. I don't know. It's like a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. Christmas Shoes, I think it's called. But anyway, if you ever get a chance, look this story up. I think it's you know, it's a book, but there's also a Hallmark made it into a movie. But it's fascinating what this little boy does, all the stuff that he does just to get these shoes for his mom, who I believe is dying from cancer or something like that. But yeah, it's
tearjerker.
Yeah, tearjerker for sure. But yeah, I mean, those are the things I think of, you know, when it comes to the whole giving thing with the holiday season. It's and I think it's when you get older, you get to reflect on a much deeper level, mm-hmm. and get to see things because you experienced a lot. And that's the reason why I was saying, like I was saying earlier, life happens for you. This is the time. If you're a grown person, you should be taking in way more than just presents. Mm-hmm. For you to just seriously celebrate something for the gifts, I mean, that's so childish. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying don't get gifts or nothing like that, but I'm saying like, it's such a fantastic time to be in that spirit of giving and absolutely. Receiving and reflecting. And it's like, dude, look how far you came.
Right?
That's a gift in itself. The fact that you're still alive is the gift.
And the fact that, like, when you get older, time just goes by so quickly. It's like that you need that time to be with family to just see everything, you know, to kind of remember everything that's happened throughout the year.
And then let the cycle begin again. Then you get to live, you know, through the excitement of your children or, you know, family members, cousins and nieces and nephews and whatever. It's just, I don't know. It's a fantastic time. One of my favorite times of the year. But so what do you guys think of when you think of like the holiday season?
For the holiday season, it's the time of giving. It's what it is. You know, and you go through cycles, like you said, like as a kid, you just couldn't wait to receive. You were so excited to just get something, you know, that is out of the norm, right? Christmas was never the norm. This is the time you got like the game systems and, you know, everything big that you wanted, the bike and all that stuff. So this was the time where you got all that exciting stuff. And then as I got into a teenager, it was a starting over period for me. I used to open my gifts and go upstairs and put them away and like start setting up my year. Like,
yeah.
Because we were all for school. So I would go, kind of sounds stupid, but I would go and I'd like tidy up my drawers, like get my drawers together, get my socks together. I would fold my shirts and I would be ready. I would already be ready for the year.
Yeah.
And that's the holidays for me was kind of a new beginning going into the new year.
Yeah.
And as you get older, we went to a soup kitchen one time in college. And that was kind of a mind blower just to see that there were people out there that literally did not have anything to eat, and just to give your time, and just for them to be so appreciative, was cool. And the fact that we could help, it wasn't even helping. The experience wasn't helping the people who couldn't eat. It was helping the people who were providing the food. You could tell that they had just a sheer lack of manpower.
Yeah.
And the appreciation for them, it said that you took such a load off just being here.
Yeah.
That felt really good. And that's when I started to, and it was during the holiday season, that's why I started like, man, giving is, it feels really good. It fills you up.
Yeah.
I much rather give something to somebody than receive something.
For me. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Gabe?
Well, cause, I mean, for me, like, I mean, especially growing up, older is like, it's different now just because I'm in a different situation now anyway, but growing up, like, because of religious reasons, we didn't celebrate holidays and, you know, birthdays and stuff. So
right.
It was kind of like, you know, obviously all of us here are Christian in some form or another, but it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you understand like the Jewish religion and stuff like that. You know, they're there, but you don't celebrate them. So you understand the meaning there, but it's like, it's just something that's there.
Exactly.
And that's what me growing up, it always was like that. Until like pretty much I was 18 and stuff like that. Even after that, like, and obviously you can't be out of sight, out of mind, because obviously the Christmas, it's everywhere. Yeah. It's not like you can.
And at Walmart, it's up at in August. So
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Especially now, like, a lot of stuff comes out earlier now, especially nowadays. But I mean, it's now like, I have friends now who are like, obviously, y'all was like that. I actually, you know, I, in some form or another, I have some kind of celebration or some kind of acknowledgement of it now.
Right.
Than I did before, growing up too. But it's still like, for me, it's always, it's, I guess it's harder to get into like the Christmas spirit because I haven't done it for so long. And even now, like in the past, like for years, it's a little more into it, but it's like still, it's such a mentality of that I don't really pay attention. Like you just don't do it. So it's so it's weirder for me like to have that. I mean, honestly, like obviously doing stuff like, you know, if you do like soup kitchens, like that stuff is awesome and stuff. So I wouldn't mind, you know, I would do stuff like that, but like just the actual, like the Christmas stuff
that,
is just.
That doing that one time alone. That would, you'd be, it's kind of, it's addicting. I don't know. For me, it was anyway. I was like, man, I wish I could do that. Because,
like, even stuff like we, like, even grocery store now, like, they have, like Acme does stuff for, like, there's one radio station that does, like, every year they have, like, a food drive and, like, they have, like, $10 bags. You can pick them, go. So I've done stuff like that, or, you know, the other stuff. Like, so I don't mind, I don't mind giving.
Right.
Other things. So, like, but, and that's why I'm terrible now, especially with that, so is with getting gifts. Like, I'm, like, terrible. It's like, I feel like I, not that I don't deserve it, but it's like I'm always weird with that just because it's never been about a certain day. It's always like, if you're going to do something nice, you're going to do something nice whenever.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't have to be in a certain holiday and all that stuff. So it's like, that's my mentality now is like, I feel weird about certain situations because I'm not used to having to focus on certain days, certain.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So we talked about kind of, you know, what we think. Or what the holiday season is for us. I appreciate Gabe's view because it's coming from a totally different perspective, totally different spectrum too. It's kind of interesting seeing someone kind of like peek inside the house kind of thing, like looking in, like,
right.
What is that? What is that? You know, what's going on? And then almost like it's gotten so big that you have to be a part of it. Just like you said, it's like, it's not an out of sight, out of mind thing because it's in your face at all times. That's very interesting. It's kind of, it exploded into something totally, I believe that, I don't know if it was, you know, panned out or planned out to be this way, or if it just panned out to be this way. But they say, you know, like, it's so commercialized at this point that it makes you, people fail to realize that although the word has Christ in it, people fail to realize that it's a religious holiday.
Yeah.
And they take it as the Santa Claus, and you know, Jesus Christ has been replaced with Santa Claus, and the actual celebration of giving has been replaced by a Christmas tree with 500,000 different gifts that cost way much more money than people need to be spending anyway. And you know, basically, you know, screwing themselves up. Most of the people are screwing themselves up financially just to compete with someone else or just to satisfy someone else's, I don't even know, like infatuation with the holiday. I don't even know what you call it. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes, I don't even feel like sometimes, I just feel like at this point, people fed in to the whole, I think, to the whole corporate portion of this holiday now.
No, of course. And especially since stuff like, you know, they start Christmas music immediately after, like, either Thanksgiving or, like, almost, like, practically in Halloween and stuff like that, too. Like,
but absolutely.
That everything starts so much earlier that's pushing. Obviously, everything has to be holiday. Yeah. And everything gets thrown in your face so much now.
It's all about the consumers. It's about the dollar. Yes, you know what absolutely. I mean? It's about making money. So the earlier you push it, the more people get in the spirit, the more they'll spend. And it's, you know, it's consumer-driven, you know, money-driven.
Absolutely. And I believe, in my personal belief, this is mine, this is not... When I'm talking, this is Jimmy Lee. This isn't the views of everyone here sitting at the table. But for me, that's the Christian's fault. That's our fault as Christian that we allowed our holiday to be exploited.
Yeah.
Think about any other religion and what holiday is exploited for them. None. Yeah. We have Easter exploited with the Easter Bunny. We have Christmas exploited with Santa Claus. And it's like this stuff that, and it's all because of money. The Easter Bunny was created for money. Santa Claus has been created because of money. And people will go back into all these stories as to say where they originated from. Yeah. Like, dude, and even if it was, it's being exploited to a point where it's nauseating.
Yeah.
People fighting each other just to get a deal.
Yeah, that's what the Black Friday and all that stuff is.
Yeah.
It gets outrageous, but
yeah, I mean it's you don't see any other religions getting, you know, their holiday exploited to the extent of this.
Yeah,
because they protect it. It's an actual holiday to them. It's a belief. It's something that they actually cherish. Where I think at some point we allowed it to go somewhere where it shouldn't ever be. It should have never come to what it is right now, ever. To having the point that we're having discussions that people are leaving their Thanksgiving dinner table just to get a deal on something for another holiday that's not for another month. Yeah, people don't do that in other religions. Only in Christianity did we let it turn into some commercialized crap that half the people who are even celebrating Christmas aren't even Christians, or they're not even practicing. They don't even believe none of this stuff. You have atheists and all these crazy knuckleheads out there that are celebrate Christmas, but not because of a religious holiday, but because it's gifts under a tree and their kids want to, you know, make their kids happy. They made it like we allowed it to be basically a joke, and that's sad on a very deep level. And I literally get frustrated every year with, you know, I have conversations with people. I'm always talking about it. It's not me, you know, coming, you know, it's not that take away from certain things. My thing is it's like what they say, too much of one thing, right? Yeah. It's the level that it has gotten to is what I mean. It's not saying, oh, no, don't buy each other stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it got to a level, literally people are taking out credit cards. People are going way beyond what the point of all this was. Yeah. And even if it was, when people can be, oh, the three wise men came and they brought gifts to the newborn king. Okay, each of them had one gift.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's all bring it back to basics. People are infatuated with loading up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Underneath the Christmas tree and just loading up, how much can I get? And then it turns into this like little secretive competition with friends and family.
Gifts getting higher than the tree or something.
Yeah. Or not even if the family members want it to be that. It's like they don't want their kids to be left out of not having the new sneaker or the new game system or the new whatever it is.
What back in the day it was like the Furbies, and now it's like the weird, what, the Hatchable or whatever the heck that thing is? Like that people...
Oh my gosh. I see that all that over the
like
place.
People going to stores, waiting lines, and then beating each other up for it. It's like...
And then you have like... people buying it for however, I think this thing's like $50. Like, I think it's an actual $50 toy.
They're selling it for like $600.
Yeah, and then you get people buying it and then selling it like on, you know, all these other sites, these online eBay yard sales or whatever. Yeah. For like quadruple the amount, which is.
Or whatever they can get for it.
Yeah, which is kind of, this is crazy.
Gotta love the holiday season, guys. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So just kind of staying along with that. Do you guys have like any traditions, or well, I know Gabe, you probably won't have necessarily like a tradition, but do you?
Well, I would say, Liz, because obviously, like no matter what, you always had that time off.
Yeah,
so
it
was,
true.
So, like, I remember when we were younger, it was like obviously this is going back when we still had like Blockbuster and Hollywood Video and stuff like that. We used to get a bunch of movies for like the week and just like, you know, chill and watch movies all week long.
Yeah,
like, you know, we just hung out at the house because obviously we didn't really do it. Obviously, did the traditional like holiday dinners and stuff like that too, but we. We were all home, so we had the time to spend together. So it was still kind of along the same lines, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. Hmm. That's awesome.
For us, it was family. I mean, growing up, me and Jim are first cousins, so we would go to grandmom's house and get stuck in there like sardines, and grandma would make food, and we would just, it'd be a lot of yelling. If you've ever been in a Puerto Rican household, they're talking to each other, but just screaming.
The baseline is
yeah. They started, like, if it goes up to 10, they start at 8. So, and that's what it was. And you watched horrible TV because there was, it was awful because cable wasn't what it is now. There's no Netflix. Like, hey, let's turn on this story. You know, well, I only had, you know, 3, 6, 10, and 29, and that's what we rolled on, man. Whatever was on Fox, we were watching. But that was it. Like, as a kid, that's what I remember, going to grandma's house and having to get dressed. I never understood why you had to get, like, in your Sunday best to go to dinner, and not even 10 minutes there, you were, like, sweating something nasty. Like, it was, we were sweating profusely, and you had eight kids walking, I guess, running around this little living room. Yeah. And we were stuck in there. And then you did that from, what, 5 to 6 till about 10 o'clock to, you know, until the parents were like, all right, we guys, we got to get to bed because Santa's coming. And we're like, all right, let's go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and then that was it. And then we woke up that morning and then went to Wayla's house again and had breakfast. Or it's vice versa. Either went Christmas Eve for dinner, or Christmas you woke up and then everybody exchanged gifts at that point. And there was what? How many kids were there at that point? It had to be 12 of us.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
For us, for the Velez squad, we always did Christmas Day for at Wayla's, because Christmas Eve we would do my
father's side. That's right.
My aunt Laura and my uncle Ruben's house, but it was literally the same thing. It was everyone packed into this little house, and man, we had a ball. And then it was cool for us because then we were like I said, growing up, we went to church like 3 times a week, so. Yeah. We always had something going on with church or whatever, and then right after that, we would go to my aunt and uncle's house or whatever it was and do something there, hang out. We exchange gifts and party and eat. It was freaking fantastic.
That's funny you say that, because you always wonder, it's like, oh man, we're going to be stuck, you know, stuck there like sardines, and the kids are going to hate it. But I remember as a kid, like, you didn't know any better. It's what you did. You know, you
thought it was great.
Yeah. I sat on the step most of the time and just like, you ate your food on the step, and I didn't know any better. Like, I can't look back and say, man, that was awful. It's like, that's how I grew up. So as a kid, they don't care. It's usually the parents, because I'm usually projecting that. It's like, oh man, it's going to be hot there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm projecting my feelings on the kid. CJ's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's me. That was what was worried about it.
I remember having to go upstairs just to get like cool, because it was like cooler upstairs.
Yeah. Go in that one room you weren't allowed in. It was our showing room. Like, oh my God, it's so nice up here. But on tradition level, like, my brother got into this last year, and he started a tradition of movies and gingerbread houses. Nice. So last year we did, everybody had their own little gingerbread house. Like, you buy them in a box. Apparently they're good forever. And you made your gingerbread house. Each individual person made their gingerbread house, decorated as they wanted, and they made a town. We made a town out of it.
Nice.
So this year...
So you guys went to town.
We went to town. Literally went to town. So this year, my in-laws are coming down, so there's going to be probably, you know, 2 or 3 more houses added onto it. So
nice.
It's become quite the... You know, CJ actually, my son, got super excited about it. My daughter's excited about it.
Yeah.
So we'll do that Christmas Eve and, you know, go home and chill. But at least it's something to do, because before... You know, my brother would always say, we don't have any traditions. He was super upset last year. He's like, I'm starting one. And it turned out to be something that now we look forward to. Like, oh, that'll be cool. Like, it's something doing Christmas Eve rather than sitting there watching TV and kind of being like just bored.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Well, the one thing I didn't realize, what I heard, I've made a gingerbread house, is that you can't, I thought you could eat that afterwards. No. I didn't realize they were just
like some,
just essentially a decoration.
That you put together. Yeah. They're not, I mean, they're edible, but they're not delicious. It's not going to be like, oh man, they're
it's made so to just, good. Yeah. Everybody put their hands on and just put together.
Yeah.
It's gross too. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did the gingerbread house thing, I think the last year or two in a row as well. But we in the Spanish community, we have bajandas, and that was a tradition that we do. But it's basically it's Christmas caroling.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in you know, groups of people, and you literally go caroling, but you do it late at night. It's not like this, you know, you do it like in the middle of the day. It's late at night, and it's basically to borderline be obnoxious to the person. You know the person too. You're not going to a random person's house. It would say, like, I would go to Manny's house, and it'd be like, you know,
4 o'clock in the morning.
No. Well, you also don't want to, you know,
it'd be pretty late though. Like, my parents would be, I remember waking up, I mean, it'd be 10, 11, like, you're kind of borderline going to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they'd wake you.
Oh, yeah. The point is to wake somebody up. It's to like kind of get them in their wind down time. So they're winding down their day or whatever it is. And you're supposed to be like, we're playing all kinds of instruments. And house, it gets to the point where it's crazy, where you're playing, you just bring pots and pans, whatever could be like obnoxious. Mm. The original point was to actually play real music.
Okay.
And then it got to be where it's a bunch of people where sometimes it eventually happens where no one's really musically inclined. So everyone's just like, just boop, 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 boop. It's like all this crazy, loud, whatever. And they just, and then they're whatever kind of embarrassed too at the same time because their neighbors can hear and all this stuff. Oh, so yeah, like, get in the house, get in the house. And it's kind of this thing to like force your will on, like make me coffee and donuts or whatever. Or like sometimes, I mean, I remember growing up, people like would make food, like all go all out, like make these huge pots of soup and like rice. And like, it was this like crazy, like
around this time, my mom always had an extra
cheese and
thing,
cracker.
cheese and crackers, and a pepperoni, humongous jar of coffee. Yeah. Like all, like on deck, because she knew it was going to happen. The one most memorable for me was, it was, I forget what church it was, but they came in. They were legit. They had the cuatro. Which is a small guitar.
Yeah.
The congas. They came ready to go. There was 25, 30 of them.
Sheesh.
Now my mom came. You know, she came from Puerto Rico, the island, so she was used to this. My mom was so excited to have that. Like, it just took her back to home, took to her childhood.
Yeah.
And I remember my brother and I sitting on the steps, and my dad, I think he had work the next day, this bloodshot eyes just looking at everybody like, I got to get up in a little bit here. But my mom was in heaven, and I remember that. Like, I remember thinking about that fondly, too, because I hear tick-a-tick, 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 and it was people just singing. It was obnoxious. You're right. Yeah. It wasn't borderline. It was just obnoxious, but it was awesome at the same time. It was like, what is happening right now? It was great.
That is like, that's the actual point, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's to celebrate. It's to get people in the spirit. You also have to be aware of whose house you're going to. Because I remember we've been stood up, and we can clearly see the people are there. We know they hear us. They turn lights on and everything, and we've just been stood up. So it's funny. So you get, as the years progress, you know who to go to, who's going to open the door no matter what. I mean, they really don't care, but... it's fun, man. You got to try it. If you haven't done it, find your fellow, like, token Spanish person that you know, if that's not your, you know, background or heritage or anything like that. And I'm telling you, you ask them, what is a bajanda? Yeah. We need to do one. It sounds like a ton of fun. Yeah. It's Christmas caroling, guys. But you're singing, and no one's good at it. It's almost like, you know, blinded karaoke, and it's... horrible songs that no one even remembers the lyrics to. It is a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's good.
But anyway, so moving on with me, one of the traditions that I've started now with my little family is cutting down a Christmas tree. Growing up, we've always had artificial Christmas trees because my mom is supposedly allergic to trees. That's what she told my dad.
Put that in quotes. Are we putting that in quotes on the air here?
Allegedly.
We'll go with the allegedly
allergic to Christmas trees, which is hysterical. Now that, like, not now that I think of, we've all, like, as an adult, when we like realize, like, that sounds like the most made up thing ever. But so long story short, my wife grew up with real trees. So my wife's family, they would just go to like your traditional, like, they're already cut kind of like corners or whatever, and just buy them, whatever. Okay. And that's the people around where I live, that's what they did too.
Yeah.
So we got invited our first year to go to an actual tree farm and chop down the tree. I say chop, but it's really saw down. I thought someone was going to give me an axe. I was going to chop this thing down. But it's actually better. You don't want it chopped because it's a disaster. It's a mess. It's uneven. So when you have it, they give you the saw. You're actually sawing, right through. It's really cool. So you go in this tree farm. You're walking around. You actually get to pick the tree that you want. They give you like measuring sticks, so you know kind of relatively, hopefully, you know how big your house is and the space that this is going into.
You like pick a 50-foot tree.
Yeah, you don't want to, because out there you're outside. There's no ceiling, right? So everything looks kind of little.
Yeah,
and you don't know until you bring it in the house. Like, oh my goodness, this thing is huge. Our first one was like this big tubby like tree, and we had no idea. It looked normal to us, but when we brought it in the house, I literally had to trim it because it didn't fit in the house. I trimmed it like I was trimming like a bush outside or something. I had like my tree trimmers or whatever the hell they're called. Anyway, so then you pick your tree, you saw it down. They even have carts that you put it on, and it's almost like a it has like three little wheels or two little wheels, and you just cart it off. Oh. So you're not like dragging this tree down at this specific place anyway. And then they get it. They put it on a tree shaker. So it shakes off all the loose pine.
Okay.
Then they cut the bottom of it with an actual, you know, a gas-powered saw. So it's a perfectly even thing.
Oh, okay. They'll
drill a hole in the bottom of it so when it gets dipped in water, the water can go through, you know, the bark or whatever. And then they put this plastic netting over it and goes through this tube thing. So now it's like this little big, huge, like, arrow, basically. And then you can throw it on top of the roof. So it's all this, like, it's very well thought out. And it's a process. Like, the first time I was chopping mine down or sawing mine down, I looked crazy. Like, I looked like I was humping the tree. I didn't know. I never sawed the tree down before.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
Yeah. So so now that's, we've done that every year now.
Okay.
So, like, that's our thing. And it's turned out to be, it's basically me, like, mumbling underneath my breath the whole time. And my wife. Yeah. Yeah. If you ever watched Home Alone and what's his real name?
Joe Pesci.
If you ever watched Joe Pesci get frustrated when his head gets flamed off from the doorknob or whatever it was, when he walks into the back door.
Or anytime he gets hit by one of the traps.
Yeah. And he dips his burnt head into the snow, which always makes me laugh. And he's like, and that's me chopping down a Christmas tree.
Side note, fantastic Christmas movie.
Oh, one of my favorite. That's a movie that I watch while I'm wrapping gifts.
Okay.
It's my own little mini tradition. Yeah, cool. It's like kind of like one of those things. Brings me back to childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And I observe and watch all, like, I still pick up to this day. I pick up that movie came out in the like early 90s, and I still pick up
something new.
What someone was doing or saying. And like up until recently, like three or four years ago, that house was actually for sale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it made it like super interesting. So then I started watching even more. I'm like, dude, that was like in the early 90s. That was just a bomb house back then. It's still like this beautiful, gorgeous house. I'm like, dude, we're talking like 20-something years ago, and that house is still like a legit, like, holy smokes, look at this gorgeous piece of house, man.
Speaking of that, did you know President-elect was in number two? Trump?
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
it's that way, kid. I had no idea. Yeah. I just found that out, and I was like, oh, there he is.
Okay.
I never noticed it. Yeah.
So
I forgot about that, too, until somebody said it recently.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. So kind of switching gears, what do you guys feel? I know we did touch upon, like, you know, holiday shopping. What's your guys' take on, like, the shopping aspect of, like, Cyber Monday and Black Friday? Do you guys do them? Do you guys not do them? Are you anti them? Do you try to get a deal if there is one? Do you just kind of...
I hate it. I'm this might be the stupid side of me and just don't care. I'd rather pay a premium than have to deal with the headache.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm that guy.
I went 1 year just because we were, because usually when I was like younger too, we always went, because we always had Thanksgiving off, we always went to Virginia, my aunt's house down there. And 1 year my cousin wanted to go, because actually some of my family up was from Florida too. So, that, you know, obviously there's deals, whatever, but they had to, he was trying to get a laptop or something. But one of those things went like, got up like 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, Best Buy, and it was like, it was pointless because you had to be there early to get like a ticket or stuff. And we, at that point, nobody, this was still, I guess, relatively early in the, like, the Best Buy wasn't really like online, everything was online. But so it was like, we didn't know that's where we went there or not. I was just wanted buying something just for the heck of it, but there was like, it was pointless because we stood in line for like, I don't know how long, just for the
early 2000s. It was ridiculous when there was no Cyber Monday. I mean, yeah,
it was just purely getting up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, no.
We had the same thing happen to us. My dad wanted to buy a laptop for my brother, and me and him at this time, it was the electronic place around us. We did have Best Buy around here, but specifically the one we were saying was Circuit City.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're at Circuit City, and the same thing. We're in line. There's this DJ and everything out there. I mean, blasting music. They're giving away free donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, all this stuff. Like, they had this whole thing going. And it was freezing outside. Yeah. I remember being like, me and my dad were swapping, going
rotating in the cars, right?
Yeah. Because it was that cold out. So we're about like 25 feet away from the door. So now we're both just standing there. We're like, oh my gosh, we're out there for like several hours.
Yeah.
And we finally get up front to realize the same thing. You need all that time for nothing because you needed a voucher that we didn't have this voucher. Yeah, for that specific laptop. Yep. And it was like, no wonder. It was like, you know, this laptop is like $200 when it was normally like $2,000.
And they only had like four available, right?
Yeah, exactly. For that deal, whatever it is. So.
Yeah.
And that was like the one and only time I ever went. I was like, never again. I'm not getting up 3 o'clock in the morning. But now, you know, that's what it was. Shortly after that, they started pushing more and earlier. And I was like, you know, you have to get in the middle of Thanksgiving Day for all that to go.
Which is hilarious because I think I actually came out with like a I felt I had like the pride in me, like wanting to come out with something because my mom was busting her chops about this the whole time. She's like, it doesn't work. That you don't ever get deals. It's like a big gimmick. They raise the prices and then drop them and make it seem like it. She came up with this whole pessimistic thing. And so I ended up coming back home with like a John Mayer CD, which is hysterical.
And that's what it was too. It was like we bought. It was like we stayed there. We got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do something. I was like, I was the only one who bought something that day. And it was like some game that I was like, I'm about to buy anyway. It was like on sale somewhat. Not even like barely. It was like full price, but it was like a special edition where it was like $30 or whatever. And then like a week later, a better version of it came out for the same price. I'm like, I just wasted money on this, but I kind of got a better version for like $10 cheaper.
That's funny. Me and my wife actually went 1 year, got up early, did the whole thing, and did pretty well. I mean, I don't even know if we got deals, but I don't know if they're considered, if you actually did the math, I don't know if they were actual deals, but I think for us, it was more in this, I would never do the whole go on Thanksgiving. Yeah. We went early, like that Friday morning or like whatever it was, like I think we got up like 4 a.m, 5 a.m, something like that. And we were out about it. But, We just got married, and it was fun. Like, we had fun with it because we knocked out like 90% of our Christmas shopping. Okay. I think that was the goal more than saving.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we knew we didn't have vouchers. We didn't have whatever. But there were certain stores that were doing, it was like they call it like a ticking time bomb or whatever. Mm. So, like, every hour, like, the price of something goes up, or they have every hour up until like noon, they have another thing goes on sale. Mm. So I want to say it was Boscov's or like something like that. Every hour they had something that we ended up going back for and getting for that specific hour. And it was actually crazy because we saw people pay double what we paid while we're waiting in line for like the next thing. Huh. Like say we bought something. I don't even know what it was. Like it was like a cologne or something. Like the cologne was like $65. We ended up paying like $25 for it. Right. Like a nice size bottle, like Dolce Gabbana, like light blue. Right. And then an hour later, literally saw someone pay $50 for it. They still got a deal, but it was $50 where we paid literally $25 for it. So there, I mean, I know that there are legit deals out there. It's just, you got to compare, is it worth it? Do you have off or are you taking off? So now you got to think, now you're using up 8 hours of your day. People are like, well, I took off. I'm like, yeah, but you got to understand, that's a day that you're taking off.
Right. Because there is stuff all day. It's the big ticket items you have to get up like mad early in the morning. But there's always sales all day. You can just go there and roam around, and especially in department stores. Like it's like a Boscov's or like a JCPenney, whatever it is. Like, there's going to be stuff on sale no matter what.
Yeah.
It's just the big ticket items you have to get there mad early and try to get a voucher and all stuff. And those are the ones you're trying to get few and far between.
Yeah. Like this year we went, but we didn't do like the whole like get up at 5. We just did the one time. First of all, we didn't have a kid. We just got married. And let's just say we had the energy for it anyway. Exactly. We really didn't, you know, we weren't tied down to anything. So we're just like, I never did it. Let's just do it.
Experience something you want to do once.
I did it with my dad, but we did it when I did it with my dad. Like I said, we just went to Circuit City and came home and we were pissed. Yeah. So, I mean, it didn't even like, wasn't a good experience.
That's why I was like one and done with me. I was like, never did it again.
But, like this year we went, but we just went like whenever we wanted to. It wasn't like we were going to hit a certain sale. Yeah. We did it for the same purpose. Like it's a day we have off. Let's see how much we can get done. Just to kind of, I like it for us. It's basically like it sets the tone for the holiday season. We get, let's knock out like 4 or 5 people at least.
Yeah, exactly.
And then get a good head start. So we're not like going, you know, crazy during the week. And like right now we got such a good head start and then now we're behind again. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that'll ever be a tradition for us because we're kind of just going on like the fly. Like, we'll see how we feel.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just buy online.
Well, that's the whole thing with, you know, Manny, you're saying, you know, the Cyber Monday, there's no line waiting. There's no nothing. Exactly. Like, it's just, you're just open up your laptop or computer or whatever, your cell phone now.
It's the same thing, like you said, like every hour to something different, like Amazon or whatever stores do that exact same thing. Like, oh, checking here, there's a deal coming up here. See what's there. It's like a hidden or whatever, but when it pops up, you can hurry and buy to certain items and all. So it's like does the same exact thing. It's just sitting in your underwear as opposed to go to the store.
So putting that much thought into a gift, what about the flip side? Have you ever received like a horrible gift? that you were like, wow, it was like you didn't even think, or you just felt like you definitely just received the gift just because it was like the act of it and not really, because really, truly, the point of giving a gift is to give something to that person that's would actually applies to them or is meaningful to them. A lot of times we've gotten into this thing where it's like, just get a free, just get something, you know, because you're so, because there's so many people to buy for. There's so many, and you get over, it's like, just get it. Yeah, I don't care. And you end up buying like something like, what in the world do we buy? Or it's just something, the same thing. Whereas I received this, like the same gift from this like person was like, not that I'm not grateful for whatever, but it's, you, I just, it's totally thoughtless. Like, I don't even know if I, this is a gift. The only way I would say that this is a gift is because I received it as a present and it, I didn't pay for it. Otherwise, the actual meaning of a gift, it was like, that was the most care. It's like armor all for my tires.
Oh, okay. You received something you didn't pay for, so it's a gift to you.
Yeah, that, so that's a, that's the only way that technically it was a gift. Otherwise, you just didn't give two, you know, craps about it. You're just like, but like I said, I was like, you know, you're not going to be.
I don't think I didn't get any. I don't remember something that was thoughtless. Yeah. I did ask for something one year, a couple years ago. I was like, all I want is this. It's all, don't get me anything else. I literally, and I think all, what it was a massage. I got something. I got a couple different gifts. And the only one I was concerned with was the small little like credit card looking thing that was like, hey, here's an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. It came up empty. I was hurt. I was like, all I wanted was a massage. Well, the four other items you got me, like I appreciate it, but that's not what I wanted. So I wouldn't say thoughtless. It was just like, eh, they just didn't, you know, go with my wishes.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it was thoughtless because the other items were cool and I appreciated it. But it was like, all I wanted was a massage. You had to get nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing. But I will say this. Last year, I said for the first time, I said, listen, don't get me anything. I literally don't. Because I really, after that one time, I was like, I really don't care for it. If I want it, I'm just going to go get it.
Yeah.
So I actually said, don't get me anything. And I always say it. And everybody, I think a lot of people say it. But do you really mean it? Okay. So the old lady actually, you know, she put pen to paper. She's like, all right, you wrote that check and I'm going to cash it. I got nothing. Literally for the first time last year, I was hurt, bro. You guys laughed.
You got what you asked for.
I got what I asked for, but I was like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
dude. By 11, I wasn't okay with it. I was like, I thought about it. I was like, man, everybody, and I'm just looking around. I was just sipping on coffee, and I was like, I didn't get one thing from my family or my kids, or whatever. And I really thought it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, this year,
I told him, I was like, listen, I know what I said last year. I get it. I don't mean it. I was like, I need something. Just something. So, even if it's one thing, I just want one thing to open. It could be the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But get me one thing. But I said that. So for anybody out there who thinks, like, I don't need it, try it once. Your butt will get hurt. And then you'll be like, all right, just give me something. Even if it's something little. Socks. That's socks. Socks and razors. I'm good with that. But... yeah, that was something that I did. I was like, I probably won't do that again. I'm not gonna ask for nothing again.
But I know, like almost the same like you said, like I'm a terrible person to get gifts for because whatever I want, I just put them together. Right, but in fact, you know, I'm single and having family. I don't have to pay. I don't have those extra expenses. So I have the sort of means to buy whatever.
And I won't get that. But if you get something that was like, man, you really thought that through. I remember those more than the ones you didn't get what you asked for. So, or as far as thoughtless is concerned. Have you given thoughtless gifts?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
this might be better to talk about.
They're called gift cards.
Yeah.
I've asked for stuff before and not received them, and I'm talking the same thing, like stuff that costs like $10, and didn't get them. And in the back of my mind, I'm like,
why not?
You just bought me something that was like $100.
Yeah.
I said, if you didn't know what else to get me and you want to basically be thoughtless, get this one thing. And they did. And meanwhile, I just wanted all these little stuff. It was like books. Like, I'd rather just get I'm not saying I just rather get books, but I'm saying there's these specific books that I said, you know what? Why am I going to buy them? That's a cool, like, that's easy gifts. Here's the titles. Boom, boom, boom.
And I'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I end up having to buy the damn books myself. I'm like, I don't even know why I try to even get creative with that one.
Yeah.
So now I just, you know, I'm just like, let's just get the big boys then. Just not, here's our budget. This is what we're spending on each other. Boom. Spend all that on this. Boom. That's it. Because okay. I already know, yeah, it's not going to work the other way. Because it's just not. It hasn't. It never did.
I'm good at, so like for me, I am a horrible like birthday guy, Valentine's guy, Mother's Day guy. Not my thing. I just, not that it's not my thing. I'm that thoughtless where I just don't think it's important enough all the time. I do it for sometimes. Anyway, Christmas is the one where I'll go like and spend the money, and I'm okay with that. So like 1 year was computers and wireless earphones when they weren't that cheap and all that. So Christmas is a good one for me. But my mom always loses. There was probably like a 4 year period where it was just candles. I'd go to just get the Yankee candle and just get a bunch of fragrances. And that was a throwaway. Like I knew she would use it.
Yeah.
She would appreciate it. I knew where my money was going. Yeah. It was kind of a go-to. But after year four and clean linens was sold out, you know, and I'm going like now I'm starting to get all these like weird Arabian aromas. Yeah. You know, like, it's like I'm reaching Arabian out.
Every scent across the board.
It's just like sunset smell. It's like, man, I'm really stretching here.
Yeah,
new car smell.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I got to get something different. I can't keep getting the same damn candle for the last 4 years. Oh, I remember
getting something for someone, the same thing. I never got them a candle before. And so I felt like, you know what? That thought popped in my head. I never got them a candle before. Let me go for the candle thing this year, right? So I'm actually putting thought into this because I never got this person that, right? I'll never forget, dude. I'm so excited because it was like, like I said, I spent time, you know, in these stores, this Hallmark store or whatever. You're in there smelling all these things. And it just made it like, it didn't bother me. I thought it was interesting. I didn't realize they had this many. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just sitting there smelling like, oh, man, you smell some weird ones. They open up the gift and it's like, oh, cool, great, nice. Another candle to add to the collection. Literally grabbed that and put it on a shelf with like 14 other candles. I didn't know the shelf existed. I didn't know, but literally did it in front of my face and set it in front of my face.
Ooh.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so in back of my mind, I'm like, oh. Well, that was interesting because another candle, in the back of my mind, I could think two things. First of all, even if it was another candle that I gave you every single year,
why are you not burning them?
No, but why are you even saying that in front of the person?
Yeah.
Second of all, I actually never bought you a candle.
Right.
So I don't even know why that makes it even more careless on your end.
Is that Johnny in the story? It was Johnny in the story.
Oh man, that was worse than Johnny.
How'd you feel?
I got mad. I just got mad because I was I just said the story. Like I was actually picking out this candle because I didn't know. Like, what else? Yeah. You know what I mean?
That goes back to what you said. Like, even if you gave somebody $1 and they're ungrateful for it, like, you want to take it back immediately.
Oh, dude, I wanted to get that candle and, like, throw it, like, across the room or something. Like, I was just staring at it sitting on that shelf. And I literally, like, that person, like, walked away. And I'm staring at the candle, like, thinking of, like, dude, I definitely spend... Yeah. I was picturing me in this store for, like, 45 minutes smelling all these different candles. I'm like... Well, and then those candles aren't even cheap.
No, they're not that cheap.
Oh, man, I just get, like, fired up thinking about it.
You want to take back all 18 candles this year?
Yeah, I remember my mind. I'm like, I'm never giving you a gift ever again.
Till next year.
then I got her, like, 4 candles the next year.
At a spite. Hey, take that. Put that on the shelf.
You get, like, the biggest candle you could ever find.
No. I bought candles and shelves.
Yeah. You got a hole on the shelf just to put more candles on.
Here's a shelf for the next 4. I really did. I went spiteful on the next year.
Oh, shit.
Candles and a shelf I bought. So what do you guys think of re-gifting? Is that something you ever done, or is it something that, you know, or, you know, what do you, when you think of it, what do you think of?
I might have done it by accident, because I don't remember, to be honest with you. Sometimes there's new stuff, like we just had a board game that was up in my attic that we got for my son that I had no idea, or I just totally forgot that it was there, and it was still in plastic. So I'm sure we might have done it. I don't think, I wouldn't do it consciously. I don't think I would have the heart to do it. Like, somebody gave me that and re-gift it. I wouldn't do it, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Why not give it to somebody who's actually going to put use to it? If it's just sitting there, why leave it here?
Yeah, if somebody else, if you're not ever going to use it, I mean. Yeah. But I mean,
again, wouldn't.
But
do
you don't
it.
Give it back to the same person who gave it to you.
Exactly. Yeah. There's rules to it. See, like I said, if it was something like whatever that fit that person, fit the description. Doesn't bother me. It's like if I receive a like re-gifted, what's it called? If it was something that was like, yeah, like I'll take that. Like for me, I just think of like books. I'll take a used book.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I read it and, you know, it didn't do anything for me. But it's like in my industry, it's like a personal development book and I don't have it. I'm like, I don't give a crap if you read it 10 times and you just gave it to me as a Christmas gift. That's perfectly fine with me. My thing is kind of what you're saying is like, dude, if you're to the point where you're so careless that they know someone who gave that to you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just like you're hitting levels of like that's almost like borderline like ungratefulness as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no borderline. That's just. Yeah. Well, no, you're right because it is borderline. It's not.
It could be borderline because it's gray area. It's situational because then what if someone wanted to get you something, but they couldn't afford it? Which in my mind, don't get anything. That's your tip for the day. But they want it too so bad. Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, I just want to give them something or whatever, and it ends up being something like that. For the most part, someone said that, and people were like, you would understand, I guess. So it's very situational, I guess. I don't know. But so is life. I mean, when you put yourself in other people's shoes, then you understand why they do the stuff that they do.
Exactly.
Whatever.
It honestly doesn't.
I guess do it, don't do it doesn't move me one way or another.
As long as people talk about karma about with this. You know, same thing, law of attraction. They talk about karma. It's like it's bad karma to do it. And it's for that reason that it's ungrateful. So basically someone's giving to you and it's like you're acting as a repellent.
Right.
So now you're not going to get, it's kind of like the ungrateful child. Now you're not, makes me not want to give it to you.
Right.
And that's the universe coming back to you. Like, oh, someone gives you a gift and what you give it right back to somebody else. As if taking ownership, as if this was a very well thought out something that I give you. Now what you're going to get, a re-gifted piece of crap next year from someone else. It's the boomerang.
Right.
It's karma. It's law of attraction. Whatever you want to disguise this thing, it's true, man. But I don't really care enough to have anything, solid about re-gifting. It's kind of, at some level, it's actually kind of funny. I think if someone just like legit get away with this stuff, I don't know why.
If you call somebody out, that'd be hilarious.
I don't know why. I just think re-gifting's hilarious. It's funny to some level. I don't know why it's funny to me, but I. If someone like, there's people who have closet fulls of gifts that they don't like, and they literally give them to people for like other occasions.
That's a whole other level of
stuff. Talking about situational, like that's different. Like, say you have a child, right, and it's clothes, and the kid grows out of clothes, but it's in the like literally in the wrapper, it's got the stickers and everything on it, right? And you were gifted to somebody else. Well, to me, that's like. What was I going to do? Throw it away or donate it? I'd rather give it to somebody who I know who's going to get use out of it. So I'm good with that. You know, it's situational, like you said. I don't know.
It's weird. It's funny. I think it's because I saw something happen, like a couple things happened that I think it's funny. Which is the reason why I just try to make a point to just get somebody. I try to anyway. I don't know. I might, like you said, I might have done it. I don't even know.
Right.
Just because you don't want to get caught up in like funny situations, man. Speaking of funny situations, what have you had any funny experiences during the holiday season as a kid or with your kids? And have your kids ever been ungrateful for a gift?
So I don't even know if it's funny. It's more traumatizing than anything. So how my house was set up, there's an attic. And I still, for all the people who have kids in the car, turn it off. But that's the point I found out that, he wasn't real. So my dad went upstairs and the ladder was giving him trouble. And I remember him working on it like in the summer. And I remember the noise that it made. And I had to be 12 o'clock at night. It was a big Christmas for us. It must have been because he went up a couple times. So I'm like hearing things. And all of a sudden I kind of opened my eyes. And it's right there. My house growing up was small. So the hallway was right there. Yeah. And my head was right in the doorway. And I hear and I'm looking, so I go out, and I literally thought to myself, I was like, Santa. I was like, no way, man. He's getting through the attic, right? So I come out, and my dad is coming down in his drawers, like in his skivvies. It was just his white skivvies. I'll never forget, but he's bringing like the toys down. And I remember looking up, like kind of looking down the hallway and just seeing his feet. And I'm so disappointed. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to bed. I was like, this is it. That's how we've gotten toys all these years. Like, I can't believe this is how it happens. It was my dad coming down in the drawers with the boxes. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I was so disappointed. I didn't say anything because I had a brother at that point.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, it kind of was like crushing. It was like, oh.
That's hard to take in at the age of 18.
Oh, man, but that was the one where I was like, God, it was funny because now thinking about it as a kid, it's like your dad's in your underwear. And I was probably me. That'll be me going up to my attic, bringing it down at some point. But that was me at probably 7, 8 years old.
That's funny. Yeah, if anybody knows the whole, like, the recent tradition with the elf in a shelf kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you have kids, I think at this point, you know, you might want to shut this off.
Yeah.
No, but it's if you do it with your kids, it's actually funny more than I think it complicates things. People say it helps it. I don't know, but anyway, to me it's comical. And so the point of this thing is this elf. I actually probably have no business probably even telling what this thing is because I actually didn't read the book or anything or what. There's apparently a movie. Anyway, I think the general concept is there's this little toy elf that you position somewhere in the house, and it is watching the children throughout the day. And when the kids go to bed, apparently the elf reports back to Santa. And when the kids wake up, you know, and tell Santa whether this child was naughty or nice, and Santa then sends the elf back and says, okay, you know, takes report, puts you on a naughty list, whatever, or the good list, and then sends the elf back. So when the kids wake up, the elf is in a different location. So it appears that the elf went to the North Pole and then goes to the North Pole and comes back every night. And so people, you know, parents are able to use this as a crutch for behavior to be a better child, which on one end, all I want to do is die laughing because... it's hysterical, and this is where we are in America right now. This is how we're disciplining our kids, by a rag doll hanging around on a holiday that you guys have exploited and abused, and this is where we are. But on the other end, I've seen some of this stuff work. Like, I saw, like, kids actually behave with certain...
Yeah, it'll work.
But I think the whole thing behind it is it's funny. But anyway, so what I wanted to say after I just probably demolished what this thing is for, which I think that's what the whole story is.
Because I was talking to Heck about it last week, and he said almost literally the same exact thing. Yeah. So
just getting your kids to behave. You get a month of just, okay.
Well, now they have a birthday one.
Oh, God.
So for the month of your birthday, you can buy an outfit for this thing, and it's dressed for birthday celebration. Stop. Yeah, so...
The memes are pretty epic on these things, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think
they're funny.
The whole... what people are doing with these the elves, it's hysterical. That's where I guess I'm getting why it's comical back of my mind. Because they're going, like, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. And I did one myself, like one funny, crazy scene. But that was it. The rest is like, dude, I don't have time for this, dude. I'm like tired as hell, man.
Hold on.
And I'm the one that does it.
Do you want to talk about being lazy? Genius. But there was a parent, I heard, I don't know, my wife told me, somebody told me, but on the elf came out, but with the elf, they wrote a note. They said, unfortunately, you know, the elf has been bitten by one of the reindeer's ticks and it has Lyme disease. So I'm going to have to stay in this position the whole season. I thought to myself, I was like, that is unbelievable. Like, that's great. Like, they literally wrote it out and they read it to the kid, and Mr. Elf stays right there, and that's kind of what it is. That, talking about that, I mean, that is genius for a parent who doesn't want to move it 3 inches every day. So
that's hilarious. I saw something like that too, where they wrapped the legs up in like this bandage and said he broke his legs.
Yeah.
Landing. Had a bad landing and broke his legs on arriving here at the house.
That's great.
And the same thing, the dog, but it was like the position they had this thing in, which I was dying laughing. Yeah. It was like on the couch, but it looked like I was falling off the couch, and it was just laying like this for like however many weeks or whatever. That was hilarious. Yeah, so the kids named this thing It's pretty much gotten out of hand. America, wake up.
Soon it's going to be off on the shelf all year long.
Yeah. It's like, we really have a ragdoll right now. Like, that's like controlling our children. But anyway, so I guess it's just the power. You know what it is? Chucky. It's the power that we're giving it. Mm-hmm. It's the power that the parents are giving it, because it's determining whether or not this child gets what they want for Christmas.
Yeah.
So we give it power, and the kids realize that how much power it has. So it's a respectable thing to them. But this is how you should be as a parent, though. Kids should be, you should be able to discipline, you know, and navigate your child's life in such a way without a ragdoll.
Sure.
I mean, that's what we did. So, all right, so let's move on to the final segment titled, What Would You Do? And, well, you guys explain, why are people so stressed? Now, realize when, you know, this is going to be aired and people are listening to this, this is, you know, day after, 2 days after Christmas. And so I guess the stress relieves are over, depending on what you celebrate. But we're talking specifically about Christmas. But why are people so stressed during the holiday season? And how can they limit this?
They're stressed. I mean, it is what it is. It's money. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. They want to give a gift. And then they're worried about, is the gift going to match what they're going to receive in return? It's about money, man. Is it big enough? Is it good enough? Is the obligation or the feeling that, oh my God, I have to give this person a gift, when that's not what it's about. It's about money. It's about, do you have the cash to buy something for somebody? That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. A lot of it's about money, because people who have money and then can provide gifts, I would love to give everybody, if I had all the money in the world, I'd give everybody in my family a car. Like, could you imagine giving everybody, like it would be fantastic. Right, right. Yeah. But if it's
just money. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's meeting certain expectations that are placed on it. I also think it's, well, obviously it's money, and also poor planning, because there's times, perfect example, like me and my wife have budgeted since November, and we've, you know, everything has been set aside. And we're behind on Christmas shopping. Here we are a week. Well, when you guys are listening to this, it'll be over and I will be have finished. Yes. And I'll have celebrated, and it's fantastic. But we got behind, and it had nothing to do with the money. It was just disorganization. And then, you know, things pop up and here and there. But I mean, you can't start off ahead and then just let it get away. You let it get away. And I think...
He's coming to grips with it on the podcast.
Yeah. Also think that because of poor planning, and you know, if money was a situation in the past, money was, you know, a stressful thing for me as well. And I understand that, and that's all you can think of, and like it just messes up the holiday season if you don't do it right. Yeah. And right is for you. And if you know you're that person, you know, they tell you, what do you tell somebody who doesn't have money, or what do you tell somebody who's like, dude, you got to plan earlier, or you got to start earlier than if this is what you want to do. Mm-hmm. If you want to participate in the madness of this exploited holiday, then you got to start a little bit, you know, earlier, because otherwise you got to understand this is just what's happening is just you're feeding into the world.
I mean, also away from financial side of things, you know, there's a time when family gets together. Well, guess what? Not all families get along.
Right.
So they feel like they're going to have to be stuck with each other. It's like, oh, that's stressful.
Yeah.
You know, that's stressful to, I know for us, or for me, it feels like, you know, growing up as kids, we always spent time together. Well, your families grow, you get nieces and nephews, all your cousins have kids, they now have their own families, have their own in-laws. And it's like, oh, well, we still want to get together, but, you know, how are we going to do it? And there's just a lot of, like, planning, and just it becomes stressful because you want to be able to, you know, give or do whatever with the same family member. Yeah,
that you visit, like, three houses in the same day. And
cool. I figure we, in our family, we grew up together, so it's like, okay, we got to see each other because that's all we've known forever.
Yeah.
But as you continue to grow older, you know, not necessarily grow apart, but your family's grow, so you get pulled in different. Yeah, you get pulled in different directions. So that becomes stress for everybody. It's like, oh, well, do I get this person something? Because if I don't, so it's all a bunch of bull. But
I mean, last year it happened to us. I mean, we're supposed to, you know, go to my mom's in the morning, but and then go to my in-laws in the afternoon. And what happened was, you have, is kind of what you're saying. You have, we have our immediate family, then we have our own little families,
right,
and then all have in-laws. Mm-hmm. So it's like boom, boom, boom. And then people have, you know, all other stuff they have to deal with when it comes to family dynamics.
Yeah.
So certain people aren't, you know, didn't show up on time, or if one thing, you know, is there some level of kink in the chain, so to speak, it kind of like filters on the down, and it, or trickles on down to the rest of the day. And it kind of, it messed up time wise. The timeline was off. And here we are, me and my wife and my son, we're rushing out of my mom's house, literally someone handing us a gift, and we're walking outside, and like they didn't even open it in front of them or nothing.
Right.
And dude, it messed me up. I'm driving to my in-law's house, like straight up crying, like a grown man crying. Not, had nothing to do with opening gifts, had nothing to do with receiving or nothing. I just felt so bad for, like, to me it was like the experience of like, and all I kept saying is like, this is not Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't what Christmas is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be flying from one. What is the point? My if I'd known this was going to be like this, I wouldn't have gone.
No, stayed home.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point? It's because it was so stressful,
right,
that, and I, the whole day, all I felt was bad. That was my Christmas. I just felt all bad because I felt rushed out of one place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to see certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we did get to see him, we're flying out the door. Yeah. Then we went to my in-law's house, and then we're there. And then all I could think of is, you know, if everyone's still back at my mom's house, then I'm now I'm over there rushing around. And then we leave there and then come back to my house, and half the one person already had freaking left. And then I'm starting to feel bad again because then we left the in-law's house like in a kind of in a rush. So the whole day I was just feeling bad. The whole day it was just like this weird vicious cycle of just feeling bad. I'm like, that was, it was one of my favorite Christmases with me, my wife, and my son. But outside of that, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And that, I don't want, I don't, I wouldn't, I would never wish that, I hope that never happens again, because that was just the feeling that I got. Was I looked forward to something. We did all this planning. We made sure we were like, everything was organized. We're there on time. We're there. Everything went so smooth. And it was like, what the freaking hell just happened? Like, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal.
Can you do for someone who doesn't have money for gift?
I literally thought of one. What I got from my brother was a coupon. I'll watch your kids for the day.
Oh,
for somebody, you know, a college student who can't really do that, do a coupon book. I've heard it before, but it actually be done now. He took his time and made like a cool little, and almost a legit certificate.
Yeah.
And he took time to do it, and it was funny. It was like, oh, really?
Yeah,
but it was here, you know, cash is in whatever, between the months of whatever, and it had an expiration date. So it was funny, and I was like, ah, you took time. I actually appreciated that more than not getting something physically.
Well, yeah, and it's also for, you know, you got to think about, there's people who do have, who are in the opposite way, come from wealthy families. Mm-hmm. And what do you get? Is the famous question, what do you get someone who has everything?
Right.
And I never forget this. It was an interview they had with Jennifer Lopez. And they asked, she's like, I just don't want someone to feel bad that they have. She's like, I literally can get whatever I want. Right. She's like, I don't want someone feeling so obligated that they have to like they're going to like blow me away with whatever. She's like, what blows me away is like when, you know, like a niece or nephew like draws a picture for me and frame and gets it framed or something like that. And that gift, she's like, I cherish those gifts more than, you know, you know, someone bought me, you know, like a $50,000 like necklace or something like that, because they're trying to like impress me or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, that's what's going to stay with me, that little picture. But and that's just it. Get creative. Make them. Make them. Seriously. Get out those creative juices. Start walking around through what, you know, your little craft store or whatever it is. Start going on Etsy and I don't even know if Etsy's still alive. What's the other one?
Pinterest.
Go on those sites. Get creative. You know, do whatever you got to do. Make a gift. I think it'd be fantastic. You have fun doing it. You know what? And I guarantee you the other person will understand that you put in time. And if they don't, then, you know what I mean?
Then don't get them something next year. Tell Johnny to go to hell.
Just get them, just buy them candles and more shelves.
There you go.
So, let's wrap this up with quotes from Joel Osteen, Dan Savage, and Giselle. So the first one from Joel Osteen: Christmas is the perfect time to celebrate the love of God and family, and to create memories that will last forever. Jesus is God's perfect, indescribable gift. The amazing thing is that not only were we able to receive this gift, but we are able to share it with others on Christmas and every other day of the year. Joel Osteen. Next one by Dan Savage. I wouldn't say that holidays are manufactured by corporations, but they're certainly exploited and mined by them. And the last one, Giselle Bunchkin. Christmas and the holidays are seasons of giving. It's a time when people are more kind and open-hearted. There you go. That's by Giselle. Thank you, guys. If you're new, once again, thank you for listening.
Guys, don't forget to visit the website, JimmyLeeVelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@JimmyLeeVelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.